Okay, guys, you two need to roll your characters.
All right, I'm first.
Why are you first?
Because I have the dice in my hand.
So?
So I roll first.
Stop. Why don't you both roll and see who rolls first?
All right.
Huh, I'm first.
Whatever.
Okay, my character is an ultra-creative priest mage warrior named Craig. Cool. Da-da-da. Okay, here you go.
My character is a math expert dwarf thief wizard named Chuck. All right. Awesome.
What was that?
What was what?
You moved that dice.
I didn't move anything.
Yes, you did. I saw you.
Would you two stop? Now let's get started, okay? You two appear before a large door at the RIAA, and...
I want to roll an attack.
Attack what?
Him.
Oh, come on. You can't attack another player.
Magic missile! Magic missile!
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Look over there!
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for October 9, 2006. If this is your first time joining us, you're welcome. If you're a returning listener, it's your own fault. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the co-host, the man who knows everything, well, it's Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Hey, I knew that already.
What are you, a psychic?
See.
Do you have ESPN?
Yeah, and 100 other channels.
We also have a special in-studio guest. We have WL Hoare from Malaysia. How are you, WL?
Hey, Chuck.
We'll be getting back with him in a bit. He's a man of few words right now.
He's in the green room.
There's no green cards in the green room. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got a quick review of PME, Star Trek Bits and Pieces, Mark from Memphis states his opinion, and Craig's running with the law. Can't wait to hear that. We'll be right back.
That's right.
On this day in tech history for October 9th, 2006. This is October 9th. It's the 282nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 83 days left in 2006. It was on this date in the year 1000 that Leif Erikson lands in Vinland, now known as Newfoundland, becoming the first known European to set foot in Canada. His father, Eric the Red, was previously the first European to set foot in North America when he landed in Greenland in the year 982. It was also on this date in 1446 that the Hangul alphabet is published in Korea. And on this date in 1582, due to the implementation of the Gregorian calendar, this day does not exist in this year in Italy, Poland, Portugal, or Spain. On this date in 1604, Supernova 1604 is the most recent supernova to be observed in the Milky Way. The Great Chicago Fire is brought under control on this date in 1871. And the General Postal Union was created as a result of the Treaty of Berne on this date in 1874. Generators at the Boulder Dam, later renamed the Hoover Dam, begin to transmit electricity from the Colorado River 266 miles to Los Angeles, California on this date in 1936. And it was on this date in 1986 that the Fox Network begins broadcasting. Also on this date in 1989, an official news agency in the Soviet Union reports the landing of a UFO in Voronezh. A 13-kilogram meteorite lands in the driveway of the Knapp residence in Peekskill, New York, destroying the family's 1980 Chevy Malibu on this date in 1992. Happy birthday goes out on this date to German scientist Hermann Emil Fischer. And German physicist and astronomer Karl Schwarzschild was born on this date in 1873. Nobel Prize-winning German physicist Max von Laue was born on this date in 1879. Actor Scott Bakula turns 52 today. And the latest Superman, Brandon Routh, turns 27 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for October 9th, 2006.
Hi, this is John Bell from Bells in the Battery, along with...
Hi, I'm Ms. Schmackelheimer, Miss Sadie Schmackelheimer.
And you're listening to Technorama.
I'm not saying that.
You gotta say it, it's their slogan.
I don't care.
You've got to say it, that's the whole idea behind doing this.
I'm not saying that, it's stupid.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Get your geek on.
That wasn't so hard, was it? 101.
All right, before we go much further, I have to make a public apology. Some of you may have downloaded the last show from the Portable Media Expo a little early.
Hey, it's actually an enhanced podcast, and it had pictures of Chuck in his underwear.
It's now a bootleg version. Yeah. There apparently was a little profanity in there during the cast. We tried to edit it out, but we were also trying some other software. And we were
trying to sleep at the same time.
We forgot which version we were editing and which we were leveling, and that one snuck out. And when I got back Monday morning... took care of it. So I apologize. Hey, that's not usually the color of this show, as everybody who's been listening knows.
Imagine my surprise. I was walking down the runway to the
runway
plane. Well, you know, the little runway thing.
The gate? The terminals.
I was Craig's running up. Hey. No, I was running down the little catwalk or whatever you want to call it thing.
Down
and I was going down and I had the headphones on and I'm like, what? Whoa, what did he just say? I was there. I knew it belonged there, but we wasn't supposed to be there again.
T. Morris got a little excited, as he sometimes does.
Yeah. So, anyway, sorry about that.
We had a great time at the PME. Saw a lot of people. Thank you to people like Marv and Dean Jensen, who came so far. You know, Marv was a great guy to hang out with.
He was. And he brought us snacks. Or he brought some snacks.
They were delicious.
They were good.
I could have eaten like 5 bags, even though I couldn't read what was on them. It was in Japanese.
Wasabi.
It was fried rice with seaweed and wasabi. Good stuff.
Doesn't sound great, but it sure does taste good.
WL.
Yes, sir.
Have you had stuff like that?
Yep.
Like just crispy snacks that are real spicy and whatnot?
Potato chips.
Yeah, they're pretty good, actually. But probably not good for health that much.
I remember what snack food is.
Wait a minute. Is Marv trying to put an end to the show?
I'm taking over this place.
Yeah. Oh, we met Darusha?
Yes. Although a little too late. I finally connected the dots and she said who she was on the last night. It would have been fun to hang out with her a little more.
Yep.
Going through the pictures, I now see her in other pictures. I went, oh, I saw her. Oh, yeah, I remember seeing her there. So it sort of clicked at the end. Very nice meeting her, and she made me so happy because we purposely put Technorama during the awards ceremony. And she said, gee, I wish I had known. I said, you should come over. It would have been great to have you in person recording with us. She goes, I wish I had known because it would
actually,
have been more
she
fun.
She should have emailed us is what the deal was.
There were a lot of people. It was hard to hook up with everybody.
Mm-hmm. It was. But you know what's funny? It looks like the paparazzi was following us around because if you look through the pictures on Flickr.
Oh, the Podcast Expo collection?
Yeah, not just that, but a lot of other ones. But what's funny is if you look through them, you see a lot of podcasters, but in a lot of them, me and you are in there.
It wasn't paparazzi. It was probably government agency keeping an eye on us.
But did you notice that? I was like, wow. You know, we just didn't. Just I guess we were in the right place at the right time.
Had a good time. Looking forward to going back next year. In fact, Craig, we have to start working on our presentation already. They are taking submissions
already.
Yes.
Oh well, we do need to work on that.
I've got the form half filled out on the other.
You know,
screen.
I was sitting there. I'm sitting there going, well, we came up with an idea, right? But yes. What's funny is I was like, oh, well, you know, we'll probably start hammering it out in January. And
if you're interested, those of you who are interested in going, or you know, as listeners or podcasters, Craig and I are going to be doing a joint, not good presentation.
It's a Technorama joint, you know,
a collaborative presentation. Both of us will be tag teaming the thing. So that's all I'm going to give at this point because we haven't got anything cemented down other than a few vaporous thoughts.
Hey, one thought. We need two projectors.
Yeah, I can't work like this.
Oh, work.
Your presentation going on one screen and mine going on the other, and see who can understand.
We're going to have two different presentations and we're going to work together. You'll see.
All right, enough about the PME. We've got a little bit of listener feedback to get into.
Let's do it.
Skybirds, this is Dropkick with a red dash alpha message in two parts. Break.
Well, actually, it's one part. No, well, I guess there are two parts in here.
Yes.
We've got one from Jorga in Belgium regarding cabling. He says, hi, Chuck, I'd like to run a Cat 6 cable from my router to my bed. They call them routers everywhere but the U.S. We call them routers. At the bed
end. Is that the European version?
At the bed end, I'd like to have a sort of wall socket where you can just plug in one end of the small Cat 6 cable that connects to my iBook. Does it exist? And if so, how would I wire that? I have no experience crimping wires.
Oh.
You actually don't need experience in crimping wires to do this, Jorga.
No, not really, because the connector or the wall sockets that I've gotten, now, I don't know that there's a Belgian version of Home Depot, but
or if Radio there Shack.
Is, Radio Shack or Lowe's. Anyway, you just get a wall socket, and it has the port. Actually, any telco type store or service where they have all that kind of equipment will should have this. You cut a hole in the sheetrock, and I only know from the way things are here in America, I assume that the building codes are similar, but you can pop them in a little metal plate and then screw the plate onto that yep. has the socket.
Yep.
And there you go. All you gotta do is fish the line in the wall.
When you run your wire, you have to watch out. I don't know about Cat 6, but I know there's like a Cat 5 A and B standard. It's a matter of which wires are twisted and which ones aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And they're clearly labeled on the little punch block. That's what it looks like. It's a little punch block that you finally put into this jack assembly in the wall. So it is doable. Hey, you might want to look on the internet for pictures and arrows and circles and diagrams and everything.
Well, the only thing is he's going to have to worry about crimping is the other side where it comes out on his router if it goes straight to it. But
right, unless you buy, say a 100-foot Cat 5 cable and just cut it to length. One end is going to have the jack that plugs into his router router.
Right.
Roto router. And the other end, you can cut it to length right at the jack end.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will offer this advice, and this is something I did not know when I first started doing cabling, was that there is a color scheme, and might as well learn to go with it now. And you can find that on the internet, keeping the colors the right, because I just was like, oh, the Cat 5 just straight through. So I'd go make all my cables straight through. My boss went to follow up and do something. He's like, I couldn't figure out what are you doing?
Never let a programmer run cables.
I didn't know
cables.
Why this thing worked, But no, hey, man, I was a network hardware guy for a long time, but I didn't know at first,
I'm just thinking.
There is a color standard, and I suggest you stick with it.
We also have a link from Mark Shepard. He has taken all of our collection of Expo pictures and put the captions on them, similar to what he did last year. These are probably twice as funny as last year.
Shepard, thank you.
I think he was getting those while we were still out there and putting captions. I came back and everybody was done except me. I think it was Tuesday morning before I uploaded mine. In fact, I was halfway done uploading them. I ran out of space. I broke down and got the pro account. I realized, oh my, I'm uploading full-size images. I deleted them, and he jumps on Skype and goes, did you just delete a whole bunch of pictures from Flickr? Like, wow, man, he's sucking them down as fast as I'm loading them up.
I know. He's probably sitting there refreshing on your Flickr account. But you know what? What's funny is I noticed that you got the pro account because I was just about to go and gift you a pro account.
Oh.
And I went, I thought he didn't have one. I started thinking, like, maybe he just recently did because of the expo pictures.
Do you have one?
I do now.
Okay. I figured this would be an easy time of year to remember to renew.
Yeah. Well, I did remember to pay for the internet in our room.
Hey, I paid for the rest of the room.
Just kidding.
WL, do you use Flickr?
Not really, actually.
I think it's blocked from work.
Oh, yeah.
Which ticks me off, because half the email I get from these friends in tech guys are links to Flickr, and I can't look at them until I get home. I'm dying here.
Are you at work now?
I'm not at work right now.
Okay, show them Flickr.
I'm with my boss, so... I guess that's work.
I'm not technically your boss. I'm just sort of a resource allocator manager.
Hey, get back to work.
His boss is at work. It's 10 a.m. in Malaysia.
Okay. Oh. Work. Zuck, zuck.
That's why he's yawning. That's why he's ready to go to sleep. It's time for his work day.
It's 10 a.m. in the morning right now.
Couch. We did get one interesting voicemail this week. This is, it's something to behold. We've never gotten anything like this, but I think we've reached a new era in Technorama voicemail. I'll just let you listen to this one.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Hi, I'm sorry I missed you. I'm calling from aplus.net to offer you award-winning domain name registration, shared and dedicated web hosting, custom website design, and internet marketing services at extremely competitive rates. For more information, please call us back at 0877. Have a great day.
Okay.
Nice. Hey, Chuck.
Wasn't that nice? We're now getting voicemail spam.
Well, I am glad he missed me. It's too bad.
Sorry he missed you. I'm sorry I missed you. I keep firing, but I'm a bad aim. I missed you again.
You know what? I should post that phone number somewhere and let all of our listeners call him back.
Well, that would be fun. Yes, I'm interested in the... web hosting service? Hey, they didn't pay us any money.
I'm interested in you not calling me back. Somebody thought it was funny.
We need to take a quick break. We will be right back. Right?
Right.
How to hack a pigeon.
Pigeons with cell phones beam air quality information to blog.
I think I heard about this a while ago. When they said cell phones, all I could think of was gives a whole new meaning to carrier pigeon. And the crowd goes silent.
Using pigeons to carry packet data. You know, they would print out the data that was in the packet and they would tape it to the pigeon's leg and then they send it. And then once it got there, they would take it and put it back on the internet. Wonder what the baud rate is on that.
2 pigeons per minute. Yeah.
2 BPM.
What? Technorama, home to a couple of bird brains named Chuck and Craig.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Technorama, what geeks listen to when Battlestar Galactica isn't on.
I'm sorry, I just couldn't. You know, when we got the ID from Ronald D. Moore, and then we had the Karen from California one. But Battlestar Galactica is back on, and we are having a really good time watching it.
Oh, yeah.
Only I don't have a lot of time. It's thank goodness for TiVo, because I've been trying to catch it in bits and pieces. I've got about another half hour to go on the 2-hour special.
Okay, you know what? I am going to confess here, because I want some feedback. So I know somebody's going to give me some feedback on some
flame.
We're
going to kick your butt from here to
you know what? Hey,
Africa.
I'm back. And what happened was this weekend, I've been tied up with a wedding. I've been doing the photography and stuff, so... Friday night, we had the rehearsal dinner, and I'm like, oh, I'm ready to go, ate my steak, I'm ready to go, and I get home, it's like, finally got settled down, it's 10:30, well, I start watching it, I end up working my way to the horizontal position on the couch, and I wake up, and it's the end of the show, I was like, oh.
He so fell then, asleep in Battlestar Galactica. Send the hate mail to Craig, K-R-E-G, at chuckchat.com.
Yeah, man. Flame on!
And then Saturday, we had the wedding, and I was on my feet from like 1 o'clock. Hey, actually, get this. I went to the wedding and was had 30 minutes to set up before everybody started coming and everything. This is outside now. So I go to set my cameras down beside a tree where they're going to have the wedding. And then they're like, hey, we need a ladle. Can you go get to the store real quick and get us one? A ladle?
A ladle?
I was like, the dollar store is only down the road. So I had to leave. I was going like 80 miles an hour down the road. Got the ladle. Come back. And then I only had 5 minutes to set up. I'm like,
come on. Stupid I did find two ladles. Ladle.
Grab two.
Here, they were on sale. Them. 2 for 1.
I was like, I don't want them to ask me for another ladle. So I grabbed two. So yeah. I was a little, you know, I had plenty of time. I was like, oh, well, okay, I'm working on. And then they have to. Anyway, the pictures turned out pretty good. I was pretty happy about that.
Shout out to the chat room.
Ah.
We have typical Victor Country Signs, Digital Dan, DQ Bigger. Sounds like something I'm really hungry for at about 5 o'clock.
Those are the snacks that Mar brought.
The DQ Bigger. I thought that was, you know, the one with the bacon and a third pound of beef.
Try the DQ Bigger. It'll make a man out of you.
That's right.
We have Glenn Toller. Jeep and Dave has returned from beyond the
Jeep and Dave.
Ether regions. Kevin Devon, Mad Marv, glad he got home safely. Assuming yep. he's not doing this wirelessly from Los Angeles Airport a week later. Mark Shepard, Missing Intellect, and Tim Elliott. We are missing...
Saddam.
Sahadoom. The other thing we were missing, we missed a birthday shout-out from the podcast special last week. That's so, right. Apologies to Adam Rumke, who had a birthday on the 2nd, and Jan Dornholt, who had a birthday on the 6th. However, we have four more that are coming up. 2 on the 9th and 2 on the 10th. Itsuko Rumke, maybe your relation to Adam. Don't know. Fill us in. Clue us in. Send us an email. chuck@chuckchat.com.
Oh, yeah.
We have Mario in New Jersey. Happy birthday to Mario on Monday.
What's up, Mario? What's going on?
And Tuesday, we have two birthdays. Victor Cahiao. Happy birthday to Victor. He's listening on the stream. He's in the chat room, and the song doesn't rhyme. And also, happy birthday, same day, to Garrett Rafal. So, lots of birthdays coming up. October, beginning of October and end of October seem to be just, wow, a plethora of birthdays. If you want to get your name and date and special birthday wish from us, and maybe a song like nothing like you've ever heard before, AOL can't come after me for that, can they?
You know what? I'm hearing a call out for a Tetram birthday song.
Hey, well, Victor's the musically talented one in Friends in Tech.
Yeah, better hurry up before your birthday gets here.
Or we could rewrite an original one like they did on Futurama. What day is today? It's yours, but never mind. If you want to get on there, go to the show notes. Show notes in the fun and game sections, listener birthday calendar. And if you happen to be around on Sunday nights in the U.S., that would be Monday morning in Malaysia, right? So, around 9:30 a.m. Malaysian time.
Yeah.
Monday morning.
If you keep moving around, then it'll finally be like exactly 24 hours.
You can join us on the stream. We have a live audio stream. We'd love to see you. Love to hear you. Join us in the chat room. We've got that going. Great community that happens every week. In fact, some people are there every single night, even though there's no show. We have a little bit of news to get on with. How's that for the world's worst segue?
And now the news. I'm back.
That's not news.
We have a bit of sad news to start things out. Digital Bill from the Wizards of Technology podcast passed away Thursday morning, October 5th. So just a moment of silence and prayers to him and his family and all those people. We remember Digital Bill as one of the early podcasters, if not, I don't know if it was a radio takeover, but he was one of the first ones I ever listened to.
Yeah, and he's one of the first ones I listened to as well. I remember I was looking around for technical podcasts at the time. It was right after I started listening, and so I know he was an early podcaster.
I don't have a whole lot of details on cause of death. He was only 47.
Yeah, it was. They had found him in his apartment. That's all I know. So it doesn't matter. It's a terrible loss. So
it is.
Here's to you, Digital Bill.
May you podcast on and on wherever you be. And you put in a second story in the news.
That's right. There was a, remember all that debris they were talking about in the space shuttle? that was floating around, not in the space shuttle, but that they had identified some debris out in the space field near the shuttle.
Did it fall off?
Well, they were trying to figure out where it came from. But remember we were talking about it looked like a little jellyfish against the blue of the Earth?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, they actually found a hole. It looks almost like a bullet hole in the side of the shuttle. And from what I understand, it isn't. I'm sorry. Maybe it was inside the hangar bay doors. But the hangar bay doors.
Open the hangar bay doors, Hal.
Close the hangar bay doors. Close the hangar bay doors. Open the hangar. Anyway.
If Craig played Hal. Yeah. Sorry, I can't do that, y'all.
I can't do that, y'all. Anyway, they found this hole, and you can see it. It looks like a rivet hole or something, but they identified it. It said it wasn't any danger, of course, to the shuttle, because it worked, and the shuttle worked. So.
Now, I don't know about you, but I've heard there's a lot of space junk up there flying around, and it's going 35,000 miles an hour. The smallest little nut or bolt or piece of junk, if you're in orbit and it's coming at you the other way, you're dead. It'll you know, knock out a satellite. It's like a, well, faster than a bullet. You can see them.
I know they got ways to track it, but, I mean, yeah, if it's coming in the dark, I mean, how can you see it?
Think of all the junk that fell off of Skylab.
Hey, they lost two screws while they were putting the stuff on the space station.
It's going to be pretty dangerous up there pretty soon. But, you know, there's different levels of orbit, so I guess, you know,
just watch out for the space crap.
We have a Remember When segment from Mark from Memphis, of all people. Hey boy, he's got two special mentions in this show, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
And Mark writes in, he says, I remember... Chuck, what?
Mark must have gotten his medication. He's starting to remember.
Be nice to the listeners. We don't have enough to piss off.
It's all coming back to him now.
He says, I remember when it was a big deal for me to purchase a 20 megabyte MFM drive and use an RLL controller to squeeze an extra 10 megabytes out of the drive. I remember when I rebuilt an XT machine into an AT machine, and a program that used to take 1 minute and 7 seconds to load on the XT took only 7 seconds to load on the AT. We were thrilled! Now if something takes 7 seconds to load, we are pissed!
Woohoo!
You know, it's kind of funny how you.
I remember kept going. I got a 30 gig drive or a 20 gig drive. I can make it a 30 or a 40. I can make it a 50.
Now imagine applying that same kind of philosophy today. I've got a 500 gigabyte drive. I can make a 700 out of it. Right. Now that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, but no.
Well, you could if you ran compression, but.
Now you're starting to sound like me. Yeah, but.
Yeah, but like, everybody's got a big butt.
WL's getting into the show now.
Yeah. You know, I think I mentioned this a long time ago, but you know, my first machine I ever overclocked was an AT
6 megahertz to 8.
Yep,
you could do that safely.
I did.
Let's ask the man from Malaysia. Mm-hmm. What kind of old things do you remember about? How far back does your PC knowledge go? He's all of 27.
I remember Windows ME.
What? No, it started from DOS, man.
Did you start from DOS?
Yeah, it started from DOS.
So directories don't scare you.
Nope.
Okay, you know the CD command.
What was that again?
The CD command.
Yeah, hey, I still remember come here. That. Yeah, I still have my 20 meg hard drive at home. Still running.
A 20 meg hard drive. What do you have it for?
It was from my old 8088 XT machine. And after I upgraded my 286, it wouldn't work. So I could have kept it around.
Oldest machine you still have in your possession. What is it?
What? In possession?
Yeah. What's the oldest machine you own right now? In terms of technology.
Well,
Do you have a 386?
No.
Do you have a 486?
I've sold them all for money.
Oh, okay.
Hey, some eBay. Museum.
when they were still worth something.
Yeah. Museums buy them, though.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. We got to go meet Beaker in the media corner.
Do it.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
And Craig has something to revive life into the wiki.
Yes, I want everybody to go to the wiki. In the fun and games section, you'll see Star Trek movies, favorite Star Trek movies, rather. And this is stemming from an article over at CNET. They were talking about their favorite, which ones were the most successful Star Trek movies, and he has them listed by money. Well, I cut and pasted his list in there, and I said, well, I wanted everybody to go in and post your Star Trek movies in order. And I have mine listed in there, so feel free to go over there at chuckchat.com/wiki, and you can find it at favorite Star Trek movies. Like I said, it's under the fun and games. Mine are Wrath of Khan, the motion picture, The Undiscovered Country, The Search for Spock, The Voyage Home, and then Generations, First Contact, Insurrection, Nemesis, and only because it's on the list, Star Trek V. Put that at the very bottom. But that's my favorite.
I think that's going to wind up on the bottom of just about everybody's list. But yeah. I'm going to change the order a bit on my list, which I haven't posted yet. You'll have to see it when you get to the wiki.
Okay. And I will say that the top five there, that's kind of a tight list right there. Because, that you know, of course, the Wrath of Khan's at first, but two through five, that I couldn't really find a good harmony, you know, to mix them up. But that's about as close as I can get because they're all, you know, I like them all.
Are you talking about the original motion picture, or are you talking the edited one?
I like that. I do have the director's cut.
Yeah.
That's the one I own. I don't have
much better than the original.
It
much
is.
Better.
I don't have the original, but somebody gave me the motion picture, the director's cut.
I can sum it up in one word.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? I had some memories from that because I used to, you know, of course, I used to love the original Star Trek. And then when the movie came out, you know, my parents took me and I took my friend, and just seeing Kirk and everybody up there, of course, the uniforms were totally different.
And they were skinny.
They were still skinny. So, I don't know. It has some memories for me, so I like it. You know, even, yeah, it was a little long, but it was cool seeing the Enterprise. There should have been a little more action or something to pick it up, but I liked it nonetheless.
WL.
Yep.
Top three Star Trek movies.
Well,
just off the top of your head, what's your favorite one?
Well, I've watched Search for Spock, which was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've watched Generations. And I'm sorry, that's the only two I've ever watched for Star
You know,
Trek.
Search for Spock doesn't get enough credit. People bashed that one. And, you know, it really had a lot of interesting information in it. It was really your first good look at the new Klingon. It brought you into a lot of areas that Star Trek hadn't gone before. And you can go, oh, this was kind of lame because they were, you know, out looking for Spock and whatnot. But you learned a whole lot more about the Vulcans, mm-hmm. and maybe I'm just getting too deep into it. But I liked it better than a lot of people give credit.
I'll tell you one thing. I never understood. Well, first of all, I did like The Search for Spock. It did have a little different feel. But how do you follow up Wrath of Khan? Jeez. I mean, come on.
Oh, that's true. It did have a tough act to follow.
Now, in the whole canon here, the one thing that I never could understand is at the end of Star Trek V, they're all partying with the Klingons and drinking, right?
Right.
Okay. And then here comes the Undiscovered Country. We've never been this close. I'm like, who do you think you are? Idiot?
You're just having your own little podcast expo party back there.
You were just sharing drinks with the Klingon chick back there. Whatever.
No, she was Romulan.
The Great Barrier. There's your barrier right there.
All right, let's move on. We're going to have a long show tonight if we don't.
You've never been this close. Hmm.
Bruce Barr sent me a link to a YouTube clip called Lord of the Rings in 7 minutes. This is actually a very nice job of editing. It's kind of the Reader's Digest. You don't get the whole story, but you get nice
Reader's
little highlights.
Reader's Digest. That's more like Reader's Digest with zip compression on it. Heavy compression.
It looks like more like a really long trailer than anything else, but it's whoever did the editing did a great job of picking the right scenes. Some of them are a little out of order, but they bring in a character and then they'll play a few scenes from that character, so it's more of a I don't know. It kind of tells the story. If you know the story, it makes sense. If you don't, this isn't going to teach you anything about it.
That's right.
But it's about 7 minutes. The music is well done. The dissolves and the fades and things are well done. So from a production standpoint, I think it's pretty well.
Give it an Oscar?
No.
All right.
Take a look. Link in the show notes. Last story in the Media Corner.
Yeah, the Enterprise D went for a little over 500 Gs. I think a Ferengi model.
500 grand. Now, you're talking the model?
500 gold plus platinum.
Slips, strips, or bricks? Sounds anyway. Like a Dr. Seuss thing. Did Dr. Seuss make up the Ferengi money? There's gold press latinum slips, strips, and bricks. How many slips are in that brick? How many bricks are in that slip? How many strips are in that slip?
Would you like them in a tree or on a train? Would you like... Anyway, the original Enterprise that they used in 1987 for the, of course, the premier encounter at Farpoint, and they used it several other places, including the film Star Trek Generations, went for a little like $576,000. I don't think they even said who bought it. It may have been an anonymous buy. I don't know. But there it is, the model there. It looks really cool. And kudos to whoever had the cash to do that.
Does it give a physical dimension?
Hey, somebody must have cashed in on their Star Wars collection to buy that.
I got some posters around here. All right, one more quick break, and we will be back with, some music that one of the listeners turned me on to.
Hey, we're not rocket scientists. They are. It's a Pac-Man ass tattoo.
You will see someone's posterior not disgustingly displayed. I always think of Patty and Selma on The Simpsons. Well, it's not a high-res butt, kids. You could end up like Craig. Why is that the example everybody uses?
I don't know. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchain.com. Send audio comments.
Have you been drinking tonight? Leave the podcasting to the professionals.
I'm Patrick Norton from DL.TV and Twit, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
All right, one of the listeners, and I apologize, I can't remember who it was at the moment. Might have been Edovet, but I could be wrong. Said they were listening. Maybe it was Martin McKay. I honestly, it's out of my head right now. I apologize if it was you. Thank you very much.
Or you.
The group is called Dan Beam and the Invisible Three, and he was listening to another podcast, and they played this. It's called Half as Cool as Han Solo. And it's not really upbeat, but the words are great. I'm not going to play the whole thing. It's about 4 minutes long. I'll give you a taste of it, and we'll be right back. I'll just have a listen. It's kind of funny.
You'd be my player, and life would be grand. You'd find me at a bar in Mos Eisley, wasting a Rodian with a wave of my hand. I'll never be even half as cool as he. And even if I flew the castle run faster than that guy, then I'd still be parsecs and parsecs away from cool. And if I was as cool as Han Solo, you'd tell me you love me, and I would say I know.
All right, I said I wasn't going to play the whole thing.
Hey, Chuck, I'm as cool as Han Solo. No, Han Solo's as cool as me.
I'm cooler than Han Solo.
Oh.
I'm cooler than you.
Okay, that's enough of that.
We need an impartial third party here. WL, who's cooler?
Who's cooler? Yeah.
Hey there.
Do what?
Hey there.
Okay, he's not going to answer then.
All right. What do you want to do first? Our clip from Michelle Country Signs or your story about your run-in with the cops?
Now, I'm going to tell them my story with the cops real quick. This is really short. The other day, I was heading out to work, and yes, I was going about 80 miles an hour. And the fast lane...
Or in your car, it would be...
Yeah. So I'm heading up the road in my red Beetle, and I'm going about 80, which I normally do, and I look in the rearview mirror, and I'm like... Crap, there's a cop right there on my bumper just like anybody else, but no lights. So I was like, oh man, you know, of course you get the reaction, you want to slow down. Anyway, I kind of kept my speed and just kind of, you know, backed off just a little bit. Anyway, he got over in the other lane and I was like, oh crap, he's gonna try and pull me over. Well, I look over at him and he looks over and he holds up his iPod and shakes it, and I was like, oh, because he saw the bumper, the sticker on my back of my car that says "Got Podcast." And I was like, "Oh, that's so cool!"
Hey, that's my sticker.
Yeah,
I want credit.
I'm sure he read the little tiny print. Checkchat.com.
I'm gonna have to send WL back with some of those stickers. Yeah. Get people in Malaysia though? Listening to podcasts. They're free.
Okay, I'll take as many as you have.
Podcasts are free too. That's what I was talking about. Yeah. Stickers are a buck a piece.
Isn't that pretty cool, though? I was like, what is he doing? Oh, he's got a iPod.
Jeez, imagine what he'd think if he saw my license plate that said podcast.
Hey, wait a minute. I hope those weren't state issue. I'm paying for those.
What, the plates?
The podcast. The iPods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, you guys getting an iPod? Are you listening while you're reading the radar gun, watching for speeders?
I'm joining the force.
Maybe you were going to get a ticket until he saw your bumper sticker.
Yeah, podcast the saved me.
Bumper sticker saved you money.
Yay. Podcast saved my life.
Do you have bumper stickers in Malaysia?
Yeah, we do.
What are typical things that people say? Are they? Hey, you never know. The license plates are different. They're assigned. I mean, they're. I'll have to show you a picture or something. Well, explain. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between license plates here and license plates there?
Well, we start with three letters and then followed by four digits.
But they're not like ours where they're stamped out of metal.
No, they are on plastics, and we stick them together.
And they give you a handful of letters.
Or something, Chuck? Yep. What are you leading up to?
They give you a handful of letters. You have to glue them on yourself.
Yep.
Some assembly required with your license plate.
You really put them together yourself?
You could hire someone to do it for you, but... What's the fun?
I am a professional license plate consultant.
Oh my gosh.
Hey.
That's funny.
It's cool stuff over there, I'm telling you.
Like refrigerator magnets on instead of...
That would be James Bondish.
Yeah.
James Bond in Penang.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
You can put neons on it.
All right, well, let's see what Michelle has to say about the future.
Hey everyone, Michelle, aka Country Signs, in the chat room again. While a lot of you were having fun at the PMEs, I was at the Jacob Javits Center in New York City and got an inside scoop on the future. The Wired Next Fest is a yearly interactive expo showing off new and upcoming gadgets. NASA was there showing off their biosuit. The days of bulky, pressurized spacesuits are over. The new biosuit will have ultra-thin layers of flexible fabric that felt like spandex with wires running through it. Then, Interactive Institute created the Power Aware cord that lights up to show how much juice your gadgets are using. So you'll know if you can plug in that one last power cord and not blow a fuse. Lastly, have you ever been poked by a nurse trying to take your blood? Well, Luminex has created the Vein Viewer. The Vein Viewer uses near-infrared light and a video camera to bounce a reflection of your veins back onto your skin, clearly showing the nurse where to poke. Links to more information on these and other products at the Wired Next Fest can be found at nextfest.net.
That Luminex thing is pretty cool.
We saw one of those yesterday down at Discovery World. Yeah.
The vein thing?
The vein thing. It's like this green light that shines on there, and everything that's a black shadow is your veins, and you can see the pulse in your wrist. It's cool.
Yeah, I got a picture of that.
Yeah, he stuck his head under the projector.
Hey, put it on Flickr for everybody to see.
I'm going to. I haven't downloaded the images for my camera yet from yesterday.
Introduce them to Flickr.
We've been very busy. I'll get into that at the very end of the show, what's coming up in Technorama, and it'll prove to you why there hasn't been a freestyle or a radio yesterday in a while. In fact, I didn't get a Gmail podcast out today either.
I don't know you, man.
Yeah, I can do that one inside an hour. I haven't had an hour. It's just been absolutely...
Chuck, you are lazy. You are very lazy.
Where's that voice coming from? Voice from beyond. Get out of my head.
No, it's just from Malaysia.
All right, we do have a What the Chuck segment. Again, Mark from Memphis. Mark in Memphis.
He's busy.
He's busy. He's been a busy boy. Well, that's what we get when we only do this once a week.
What the Chuck? What's up with that?
Hi, this is Mark from Memphis.
Who's Mark from Memphis?
Howdy, this is Mark from Memphis.
I knew a Mark from New Jersey once.
Howdy, this is Mark in Memphis.
Oh, Mark from Memphis.
Hey, Chuck, I was just wondering, in the OT disc, what is this Gregorian calendar that you keep talking about? Is this something that Steph came up with? I'm not sure I've ever heard of that. This is Mark in Memphis, by the way. Oh, and Craig, just get over it. Put in an email address that is craig@chuckchat.com and forward it to your kreg@chuckchat.com. And that way, everybody can get in touch with you no matter how they spell your name. Gee. This is Mark in Memphis. Bye.
The number you have reached has been changed to a non-published number.
I love that laugh he puts in there. Gee.
I want people to spell my name. I am somebody. I am important.
You have an identity problem, mister.
To be honest with you, my name has been spelled wrong so many times, they don't matter anymore.
Sort of like someone we talked to recently. Hey, yeah. Geek Library, we're going to skip the bumper because it's too long. The Geek Library, we got a couple of inputs from Bruce Barr. Not Juice Barr, not OnStar. It's Bruce Barr. He gave us a link to, what was it, design215.com, where there is a diagram of megapixels versus largest possible photo size. So if you've got a 2-megapixel camera, you can reasonably print a 3x4 print. And then it steps up to like 24 megapixels and you can get a, you know, it's kind of interesting because it's length times width, it's squared, so you have to, you know, go more megapixels to get a bigger picture. It's really a good definitive map to say, good. I've got a 6-megapixel camera. Can I print an 8x10 or an 11x14?
I've used Bug. They had that on their help one time, and I remember seeing that. That's pretty good. I'll have to keep that in mind.
Or you were hauling around a camera this weekend. What megapixels was that?
This is a 3-megapixel.
I would have guessed 3, 4, 5, because it is a little more modern than some of them I've seen.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with 3. Somebody tell me this weekend, I've only got a 3-megapixel. I took some really good pictures with my 3-megapixel.
I've taken some really good ones with my 2s.
3 is fine.
There's nothing wrong with that.
3 is fine if you're not going to print really, really large prints.
You know how many prints I've actually made over the last 6 years of digital photography? Mm-hmm. Probably enough that fits on both hands.
Two?
Yeah, if you work in a sawmill.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, a 3-megapixel you can probably print without really cropping anything, because if you start cropping, it'll be too small.
Yep.
But 3-megapixel, you know, you can print just fine.
If you know how to frame a shot, you don't have to crop.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Actually, I did crop a little bit this last week. Yeah. These pictures I put up here for the wedding.
And what do you do with most of your pictures? You scale them to 800 by 600 and upload them to Flickr. Yeah. Boy, well, there's worth a 10-megapixel camera right there.
Actually, you know what I did? I resized them in Picasa, told it, you know, when you go to crop it, you can tell it to keep a 4x6 aspect ratio. So I did that on a lot of them and uploaded them. And I'm, of course, give out that everybody that wants a CD can get the full versions, but I just put them up there for everybody to see. But they're about 1024 or something on there.
We also have a link, courtesy of Bruce Barr, to a regex cheat sheet. Did we do this one before?
Yeah, I talked. It's at ilovejackdaniels.com.
ilovejackdaniels.com, a regular expression. If you're used to using SED or AUK or Perl or VI or any
PHP
of those Unix type of programs, yeah, there's sort of this standard library of regular expressions. I should say that Perl has some extensions to it. But if you're looking for, you know, how to find all the first letters in a word, I mean, the regular expression parser is a very powerful tool, but it can be a bit complex to read and write.
Oh, man. You know what? It's one of those things. It can be really easy as putting an asterisk in there. Mm-hmm. It can be as difficult as like a two-line, you know, thing to pull out all your HTML tags. I mean, it's, you know, it's huge stuff.
This is something I'm going to keep track of because my regular expression knowledge is starting to get rusty as I go from technical to managerial.
There's so much to it. You can't remember it all. I mean,
well,
I can't. I use, you know, a few things, and then once I need to do something more complex, I have to go look in the internet.
WL, do you use regular expressions much?
Yeah, nowadays.
Are regular expressions the same in Malaysia as they are in the States?
Yes, this is the regular expression for shock. This is surprise.
This is sad.
Yeah, not those types of expressions.
Not emoticons. Regular expressions.
Dang. Well, with that link, it takes us to the end of a longer than usual show, but it has been fun. Did you enjoy yourself?
Of course.
He's part of the show now.
Hey, I enjoyed myself, too.
We'll have to Skype him in on Malaysian Monday mornings for him.
Hey, man, how's it going? Woo!
Woo-hoo! Oh, crap, here comes my boss.
I mean, do it.
I'll
get
skip out of work. I don't want to work. It's 10:30 in the morning. It's time for coffee.
My work's done.
All right, the reason we've been so busy is, well, Craig and I were at the Podcast and Portable Media Expo. We got spoiled. We had a face-to-face. We were face-to-face anyway. With Grant Imahara from MythBusters. We did an interview with him. And, of course, Gizmo didn't want to work at the last possible minute, so we're frantically screaming around. And
you know what?
Grant,
I do not have Gizmo on my machines at all anymore.
Give that up. Yep. So Skype out pulled through for us. Grant was kind enough to give us his number at M5 Studios, where they film MythBusters. Thank you very much, Grant. That interview will be going up on the feed and posted to the website, chuckchat.com/technorama, on Wednesday, if I remember this week. It's so hard to remember when we don't have a Wednesday show.
I'll remind you.
Okay, thank you. Send me an email in the evening, and I'll get it when I get back from where I've been. We also, yesterday, WL and I went down to Milwaukee, a.k.a. Pier, Wisconsin, and did an audio tour of Discovery World. My first thought was, I'll just install these in segments into Technorama, kind of like we did with the junkyard when we went to the Recycle Center about a year ago. Mm-hmm. But we were there for about 2.5-3 hours and got a lot of segments. Yep. We'd be here until Easter doing these installations. So this may have to be its own show going out on Wednesday. I don't even know how much content I've got, edited or not. I may have to do this in 2 installations. So wonderful place. That's where we saw this.
Yeah, it's a really cool place. It's a very cool place.
That's where we saw the little vein finder infrared camera projector thing. They had a podcast studio, which we had to check out.
Yeah, I was expressing the irony of going to a podcast, putting on podcast about us going to podcast class.
it's like podcast talking about podcasts.
Yeah, I know.
And then later this week, I've got an interview with Dennis Felchin from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He is a former weather forecaster. I'm going to find out what it takes to bring you your weather on your local TV station all the way from NOAA, because they're the people that really gather up the data, have the satellites out in space, fly into the hurricanes, the whole thing. So I want to talk to him and find out what's behind the scenes that really happens. He's got to do this because in about 3 more days after I get done talking with him, he's actually flying out and doing something long-term with hurricanes that I didn't quite get into. But our timing
and
is
Chuck,
pretty critical.
We're going to release this thing called Dorothy into the tornado.
No, that was Twister.
Oh, yeah.
And then the following week, October is a very busy month for Technorama. The following month, I'm going to be talking with Andy Mitchell from the UK. He's the one who did the GTD plugin for Firefox that lets you work in Gmail. So yeah,
that's cool.
That I'm looking forward to that. I'm not even sure if that's going to be Technorama or Gmail podcast yet. I haven't done any interviews for that. But I want to speak to him about, well, maybe both, about all that stuff. So that's what we're up to. That's what's coming down the pipeline. And look forward to hearing that Grant Imahara. Great interview, by the way. That went really well. If you thought the Adam Savage interview from a year ago was fun, he lets out some secrets that I think are maybe a Technorama exclusive.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, WL.
No problem.
He's yawning over there. If you want to get in
contact... Thanks for your enthusiasm there, WL.
Sure, Craig. Happy to be with you.
At least he's not nervous.
Yeah, right.
If you want to get in touch with us, there's the listener line, 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email us, chuck@chuckchat.com, or Craig, K-R-E-G, the man with the identity.
No, just go ahead and say Craig. You can fix me up.
We're going to have to do an alias on that new Gmail site, aren't we? Okay, the website, the only constant in the universe for all your forum swag, webcam, mail list, links, show notes, and much, much more, is found at www.chuckchat.com. Is this the part where we spill something on the keyboard?
No, this is where we tell Marv, thanks.
Thanks, Marv. Marv is the one who gave us the music earlier. That Cooler Than Han Solo thing.
That's right, and all the blogging he does on our site.
Awesome guy. We don't pay him enough. I don't think we ever will. Yeah. Oh, that's not incentive, is it?
I'm going to put a requisition to up his pay.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. Audio streaming provided by Scott Reynolds. We do that every show, every week. The chat room is provided by freenode.net. And if you're getting this show the old-fashioned way by clicking on the link on the website, consider subscribing to get the show automatically
delivered to you for free.
Sorry, I can't help but when I hear that music now.
In 30 minutes or less.
Drop either one of us an email at the aforementioned email addresses if you'd like more information, if you're not clear. Subscription is free, by the way. It's not like a magazine where you have to pay. This is all free. And we always ask you to spread the love, be a disciple, tell a friend or 10 about Technorama, and as always, a binary high five.
101.
Woohoo! We are out of here. Thanks for listening. Take care, everybody. Till next time. Bye.
Good night, America.
Bye-bye.